We've got this week and next week left in our Confessions of a Pastor sermon series, and I want to thank you for the several calls, but also the letters and emails that I received this week about last week's sermon. I feel completely inadequate. I just read a few snippets of those notes I got this week. Barry, what an adequate sermon. It almost helped me. Okay. Brother Barry, I really needed a mediocre message to inspire me, and you sure delivered. Thank you for barely meeting my spiritual needs. That was a given. You are almost preaching well now. Almost. Almost. Signed, Ben Butler. So that fits right where we're going today. I stink at handling criticism. And I don't need to convince you that that is a great reality in our world. One of the great realities is all of us have sinned. Paul reminds the church in Rome, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But maybe another universal truth for us is that we all get criticized. Aristotle had once said, it's easy to avoid criticism. All you have to do is say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. But if you decide to ever open your mouth or move, somebody is going to say something. And even in the most blessed of communions, our life together, let's admit it. Somebody right now is a little too warm. Somebody's a little too cold, right? Some of us are, I was at a church one time where I had just finished a communion service. And I couldn't get out the door till somebody said, you know, we went a minute over. We've got to hold that to getting out on time. And within a few seconds later, somebody said, Barry, you didn't preach your full sermon. I could tell. You preach. I don't care how late we go. You preach. You can't please anybody, right? This is a true story. A pastor once got up before his congregation at the welcome and announcements, and he had a Band-Aid on his face, and he said to his congregation, I apologize, but I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and I cut my face. He received a note in the offering that he read after the service that said, next time, think about your face and cut the sermon. Everybody gets criticized. An older gentleman was sharing life. He was in the hospital, and he was sharing life with his wife and just saying to her, Ethel, you were there for me in my years when I was in the VA hospital. You stood by me. When we lost our house to the fire, it was you who stood by me. And then in these last years, this continued struggle in my life, and it's you that are standing by me. Ethel, you are bad luck. So, there we go. That's where we are. What do you do then? And that's where we want to go and look at the life of Jesus, to look at the response of Jesus. What do you do when that comes? Do you lash out? Do you hide? Do you stuff it and allow bitterness into your life? What happens when poor criticism comes? But also, we'll talk about this, right criticism. What do you do? Well, let's look at our Savior and look at his life. So if you're following along in your notes, in verse 2, we're reminded that at first, as Renee said, Jesus listened to the criticism. Now imagine that. God himself, God incarnate, assuming human flesh, listening to sinners, listening to people who are hung up on their legalistic systems, and he still listened. Whether it's his disciples who over and over again can't get it, or to strangers who have no understanding whatsoever, or to these who ought to know better, Jesus always gives people and their criticism the time of day. He listens, not just here, but even later in Luke. And you go back earlier, there's already been several confrontations with enemies, and he listens. It's one of the great things you and I can do in our evangelism to people that we might butt heads with or struggle with our faith is to be a people that or who listens. And I know that can be difficult to do. It's easy to shut down. It's easy to lash out. Proverbs 15 reminds us, if you will listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Because there are times when we listen that it's helpful. Jethro to Moses, Nathan to David, Paul even to having to correct something in Peter's life in Acts, Jesus constantly with his disciples, open to listening, especially if it's from a godly source. What about you? When that criticism comes, that initial criticism comes, do you immediately get defensive? Do you shut down? Do you lash out? Are you open to hearing? Or scripture would say, are you quick to listen? But then also, are you slow to speak? And even though we're to be slow to speak, that's the next reminder from our Savior's life. Jesus not only listened, Jesus did give an answer. Jesus answered the criticism there in verse 3. Y'all are Christians. You're nice people. Maybe you don't want to crush somebody who comes with a false criticism. And I love how Jesus is careful about this in Luke 6. Both times, he doesn't start with a pronouncement. He starts with a question. Well, let me ask you this. And he not only starts with a question, he uses logic, which they loved. He even throws in David, who they love very much. He's speaking their language to their world, not pouncing on them, but saying, hey, how is this not right? So he answers with grace. You look at Gideon's life in Judges 8, 1 through 3. They criticized him sharply, but he answered them. And when they heard his answer, they were no longer angry. Proverbs 15, 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. 1 Peter 3, 15, we always have to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us, but with gentleness and reverence. No wonder John, when he speaks of the incarnation of Christ, says that when Jesus pitched his tent with us, when he tabernacled with us, he came full of grace and truth. He did not surrender truth or an answer, but it was always grace. It's a great reminder to us, always to, after we've listened well, to speak a word, but that word needs to be covered in grace. But thirdly, following down to verse 10, we see Jesus then having listened and spoken, after he's spoken an answer, he dismissed the criticism. And there are times for that. There's time to receive that. We saw that in Moses' life, David's life, Peter's life. But there are also times, and Jesus does this rightly here, that you've got to throw that away. Have you ever been paralyzed because of what one person said to you? And even though it was wrong, it crippled you. I've been there. A wrong statement. You know it's wrong. You take it to a godly person in your life. They say it's wrong, but it shuts you down. Jesus dismissed the criticism. He pushed it aside. And understand this. A lot of times that criticism has very little to do with you. It has to do with the other person. It has to do with maybe what they're wrestling with. Maybe they're wrestling with their own sin. Maybe there's a war. In his book, Confessions of a Pastor, Craig Rochelle talks about he had a roommate in college who was battling an issue with pornography. And another Christian was just crushing him and rightly speaking a word of truth into his life. But this goes beyond this, crushing this young man for his sin. The day after that man unloaded on his roommate, he found out that that man had been in an affair for 3 years with a married woman, struggling with his own sin, lashing out at somebody else. Understand, that's what may be going on and is going on here with the Pharisees. There's also this reminder as well, and you know that well, that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And so maybe there's some things going on in their life. When you receive that strong word of criticism from somebody that's incorrect, it's a great opportunity to pray for that person, because you can probably guess what may be going on in their own lives. And I love this Christ-like response to these Pharisees. Gives them truth, but speaks their language, asks some questions, doesn't surrender his answer, but he's loving them even through their sin and their frustration. Listen answer. And then there's those times where we have to dismiss that, to push that away. But one other thing, very, very quickly. I love what our choir sang this morning. You and I will not do well with criticism unless we just know we belong to Jesus Christ. We will be people pleasers. We will be crushed, or we will go about crushing the accuser. Because listen, whatever happened in Jesus' life in Luke 6, 7, that they watched him closely, that they were looking for a chance to accuse, all of us have somebody doing that in our life right now. And if we don't know our place in Christ, and I'm so pleased that our church says once a month, as we begin a new month together in our life together, we're going to be at this table. And may it be a reminder to us that our life is found in him. Our completion is found, not in what somebody else says, but what he has said about us, that he gave it all for us. Knowing that, I can face a word of correction, but also knowing that, I can stomach and answer well and even dismiss a wrong word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture of your son, Jesus. For what he says, for how he says what he says, for his open heart to listen, but also for his godly example and how he can dismiss things. That they would not take him away from the kingdom work he is to do. Father, we can be so quick to lash out or to shut down. Father, help us to follow our Savior. Meet with us now, we pray, in this meal. That we would receive again the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. That we would receive again that word of assurance so we can be your people no matter what we face, no matter what we hear. And it's in his holy name we pray this prayer. Amen. We gather together to give thanks for what God has done and is doing in us now through his Son, Jesus Christ.